Good morning. Merry Christmas when it comes. This morning, I would like to do something a little bit different. And I figure some of you watch TV, some of you are home in the daytime, and you've seen this. Today, we're going to play a version of Family Feud. And this, we're all family, so we're not going to be feud against each other. We're going to be working together. So the way it's going to work is this, all right? I'm going to ask some questions, top 100 people survey, top X number of answers on the board, and I'm going to give you a question. If you know the answer, raise your hand, and we have Phil Donahue in the back, who's going to be participating. He's going to hand you the mic. And you get to answer, and we have our technician up front who's going to be doing this. So that's our technician up front who's going to be doing this. So let's see how this works. If this works, we'll do it again. If it doesn't work, we won't ever do it again. It'll be a complete disaster, as one of our presidential candidates loves to say. It's a complete disaster. So without any further ado... So he's going to show the first question. There's a practice round, so to kind of get you into it, right? So Drew's going to click on that first question there. And so here's the question. Name a color. Don't yell it out. Don't yell it out. Associated with Christmas. Top 100 people surveyed. Top 4 answers on the board. That is a question. Name a color associated with Christmas. See a hand up here? Go to Mr. Mackey there. Oh, you got it? Okay, he's our spotter. Where is this? Let's see. George, before you go back there, can you do me a favor? And this mic is off because I'm gonna have two mics to do this. Anyway, so what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, I guess there's no mic, so you just gotta yell it out.
Red.
What's survey said? Red. All right. Hey, we got some cheers, too. Okay. I see a hand back there. Nan back there.
Wait, he's coming to you.
All right, he's coming so everybody can hear you.
Green.
Let's see. Drew, what do we have? Survey said number 2. All right. Remember, there are 4 answers on the board. Number 3, who's up? Who's up next? All right, I see Mr. Lindell back there.
I'm white.
White. What does it say? Survey said? All right, there's one more question left. One more answer left. Who's up next? Any hands? All right, I see your hands back there again. And what's the other question? What's the other answer?
Gold.
Gold. Yellow is good as gold. And... All right, that's it. So now we got the hang of it. The next question, this is the first question. Oh, the first official question is this. See, when Drew shows a question, I hope he didn't go too far back. Let's see what the question he has here. When do you start decorating for Christmas? All right, I see Patrice's hand first. What's that?
The weekend after Thanksgiving.
Drew, how does that look? Survey said? All right, number 1. All right, who's on number 2? Let me see a show of hands there. Is that Fatima?
Christmas Eve.
Drew, what does the survey say? Christmas Eve. Two people answered that. Let's see a show of hands. We got 3 more answers on the board, I believe. Ingrid.
A week before Christmas.
Survey said, Drew? A week before. All right, we got 2 answers. Let's see. Who's up next? Anybody? Take a guess. Lindell.
The beginning of December.
How is that, Drew? All right. We got one more answer. Come on. Do we want all you guys guessing? Because we don't want to leave any answers on the board. Anybody else? Anybody else? Christmas Day. Service, Andrew? Sorry. All right. Anybody else? Well, one more answer. Mackie, Mr. Rowan here.
2 weeks before Christmas.
2 weeks before Christmas. Survey said? All right, strike two. Let's see. I see a hand over there. Is that Tanika? It's hard to see with the lights. I think it's Tanika. Go ahead, Tanika. Let's see if you have the right answer.
The last week of November.
The last week of November. All right. So, we're all out of that. So, what does it say? What is the fourth answer, Drew? Survey said, keep them up all year long. I know somebody in this audience who's wearing red, black, and white who does that. If you can figure out who that. Next question. Let's click on show question there. Yeah, that's good. Name a Christmas song. Name a Christmas song. All right.
Jingle Bell.
Survey said? Number two. Let's back there.
Deck the Halls.
Drew, how does that sound? Sorry. All right, there's a hand back there for Sean. Well, Gary doesn't care about Sean.
Sean?
That's Sean.
A Holy Night.
Oh, Holy Night. Wait, but before we answer that, see if you want to change it. These questions were not asked to Christians only. Okay. Oh, Holy Night. Let's see, Drew. Sorry. All right. Back there.
Silent Night.
Let's see Silent Night. Survey said 20. All right, we got, how many more answers we got, Drew? We have four more answers left. All right. Let's see. Back there.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph. Is Rudolph on there? Rudolph is number one. All right. We have one answer left before a strikeout. Let's see. Back there.
Little Drummer Boy.
Sorry. Boo. All right. You got a boo there. Well, we're out. We're three strikes and we're out. So let me see the rest of the right answers there, Drew. Well, that's not a right answer. White Christmas and Santa Claus is coming to town. All right, so you guys got the hang of this. Next question. Show the question there. Who is the hardest person to shop for Christmas? There's so many hands. All right, there's one of the young people on the side there.
Your mom.
What's that? Let's see. Survey says? 22. All right. This is good. Where's the chair, Drew? Chair? Thank you. All right.
Your spouse.
What's that?
Your spouse.
I think that's the number one answer. All right, so we have three more answers on the board, and no strikes so far.
Your boss.
I believe that answer is correct. We got two more answers on the board and no strikes.
Your teenager.
I believe that answer is correct. I believe we have one more answer. Let's see if you can get that. I don't believe anybody can get this. I believe it's going to be three strikes. So, let's see. Anybody can get the last one. Oh, wait, the Tom over here.
Your sister.
I believe the answer is... Thank you. Mr. Rowan, be right behind.
Your pastor.
I can tell you the answer for that. It's pretty easy. Dark chocolates. All right.
Your grandma.
And I believe that is strike three. So the third answer, or the whatever it is, fifth answer is your neighbors. If you're living next to me, dark chocolates. Make it really easy. Let's have the next question there, Drew. We have three more, I believe. The best Christmas movie. 100 people surveyed. Top how many answers. Top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 answers on the board.
The Grinch.
The Grinch. Drew, how is that? How is The Grinch on there? Sorry.
The Polar Express.
The Polar Express. Let's see what the Polar Express. All right, sorry. Okay. Wait, one second. I believe we need to give it to Simone. Simone or Judy can at least get one right answer out of here. Let's see. Judy's hand is falling off. Let's see.
Gary. I'm over here.
Oh, I didn't see you.
Home Alone.
That's not. Oh, my God.
All right. Yes. Just give him two more beats for that. Thank you. And another one. And another one. Thank you. And a boo now. And a boo now. All right. Thank you. So before I show the answers, let's see. Judy.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. That would be number one, I believe. Let's see anybody else. Rowan.
The Griswolds.
The Griswolds. That is like the 15th X. Give me another X. Thank you.
All right, Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown Christmas. That's on there, I believe. All right. Who else can come up with another one? Judy again. Oh, here's one of the young people. What's that?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph? Isn't that a song? Judy. Let's see what Judy can come up with. I can't believe Simone doesn't get this one yet. Hasn't gotten this one yet. There's
Christmas
one
Carol?
That she... What?
A Christmas Carol?
Is that on there, Drew? A Christmas Carol? Thank you. Thank you. Say it again.
Sound of Music.
It's coming on tonight, I believe. I believe there's one more answer. You guys will never get there. All right, Judy, I think there are two more answers. Frosted the Snowman. I don't believe that's one of them.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Wow! I did not believe anybody would get that. Oh, Katie got it. And one more.
White Christmas?
White Christmas? No. I'll just tell you the answer is Elf. I've never seen that movie. It's Elf.
I've seen it.
So. So here's the next one. The next one is. What is the first thing you think about when you think about Christmas? Remember, this was asked of the man on the street. Pastor Donald says presents. Drew? Being generous. Is good enough? It'll be good enough. All right, so you got some. Oh, Nan's back there. Go ahead, Nan.
What we don't have, snow.
Snow. 100 South Floridians.
I have it. Santa Claus.
Oh, you need an X first. Thank you. You can't boo before the X. Get the
Christmas
X.
Christmas dinner.
Food.
All right. So we're out of. So we're kind of like a bonus. Let me see what Lindell says back. Sorry, Fatima. Go ahead. Wait,
he didn't even answer.
She didn't answer yet.
Christmas tree.
I think he was premature, but he got that right.
Let's see if at least two people said baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Y'all are such good Christians. No. Ingrid. Shopping? No work.
Eggnog.
No work. I know that's up there. Wait, what are you talking about? There, no work.
Holiday.
Time off. Thank you. And let's see. There's one, two. There are two more answers.
Family.
Number one answer. That should be the number one answer, spending time with friends and family.
Presents.
And gifts and being generous is up there already. Simone said something. When you think about Christmas, you think of Kwanzaa? Thank you, Drew.
Presents.
What's that?
No, it's the same as generous.
All right, so the last answer, in interest of time here, is God's love for humanity. God's love for humanity. Those questions were actually asked. That last question came about actually from a different survey than the other ones. And I'm looking for my clicker here, so if you wonder what I'm looking for. But I love numbers. Numbers tell a whole story, besides the fact that it's a whole book in the Bible. It tells a story. And it tells a story. When I look at this, Drew, can you bring up the other PowerPoint, please? When I think about this, and I thought about this, you know, this game and stuff, and this, that slide kind of hit me. That last question hit me. Let's see. All right. The actual question that was asked is, what do people think the modern day Christmas is about? And if you see those answers there, it's percentages, because people could answer more than one answer. I think it's interesting that God's love for humanity, and it's just a holiday, almost tied for the same number of responses. See, when I look at these answers are really all right. And if I were asked these questions on the road, I would probably answer the same thing if I wasn't a Christian. After all, how could you go wrong with spending more time with friends and family? How could you go wrong with being more generous? How could you wrong with another holiday from work? 40% of the people, when they think of Christmas, they think it's just a holiday. Same number tied with the people who said it's God's love for humanity. That tells a story. You know, if you should ask Andy Williams, what does he think about Christmas? What do you think he would say? You guys don't know who Andy Williams is. He would say it's the most wonderful time of the year, with kids jingle-belling and gay happy greeting when loved ones come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Last week, we talked about Christmas traditions, and we talked about the fact that for most people, it is the happiest time of the year, or the time of the year when they're supposed to pretend that they're the happiest. The fact is that it's really not the happiest time of the year for a lot of people. You know, last week when we talked about Christmas and Christmas traditions, we talked about the fact that you know, what the wise men did. What the wise men did. They came to worship. You ever wondered if God was on the street? And you ask God, says, God, what do you think about when you think about Christmas? Ever wonder what his answer would be? I think he would probably agree that it's a great time for family and friends. I think he would probably agree that it's a great time for giving gifts and a great time for being generous. But I think the question still begs to ask, what would God say is the first thing that would come to his mind when he thinks about Christmas? If you were to ask Jesus, the person of Jesus, they're three in one, but they have independent personalities, but they're all working together. It's a mystery. Just got to kind of take my word for that. All right, it's one of those things that you just got to go with. But if you were to ask Jesus, what's the first thing that comes to his mind when he thinks about Christmas? What would it be? I think the answer probably could be found in the Christmas carol that we sang earlier. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. There is a line in there, a couple lines, that says, peace on earth and mercy mild. Now, I think we all could agree with peace on earth. That's pretty easy to understand. I have no idea what mercy mile means. If you know, tell me about it afterwards. But I think God would say, when I think about Christmas, I would think about God and sinner reconciled. I would think about God and sinner reconciled. It's interesting that nobody said that. That when they think about Christmas, what do they think about? God and sinner reconciled. But every year, we sing the same carols over and over and over and over again. And one of the problems that I personally have is that when you do something over and over again, it's like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, Lord, my soul. My favorite rote prayer is when I don't want anybody to see me praying for my food. It's like, thank you for the food, thank you for the food, amen. Doesn't mean anything anymore. But the fact of the matter is, God's like, hey, look, this Christmas is about God and sinner reconciled. Reconciled. You see, we hear time and time and time again, peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. For some of you who know Jesus, at some point, this was the most real thing to you. It was the greatest gift of all. You see, at some point in your life, this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that was read in communion today came alive. It says, God who made him who had no sin, him, Jesus, who had no sin, he made him sin for us so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. God gave his son all the sins of the world so that in him we could have a righteousness of God. That became really real to us. And at some point, you realize that God had every reason not to reconcile you to him. At some point, you came to terms with the thousands and thousands and thousands times that you have failed, and that his mercy really prevailed, as the song says. His invitation, his outreach to you remain. Oftentimes, we forget what that sacrifice looked like. We think about it at Easter, but we don't really think about it for the rest of the year. We don't really stop and to think, really, what that sacrifice looked like. And I'm going to take you on a little journey today for the next 15 minutes or so. The emphasis on this or so, not on the 15 minutes. Of really what that meant. It says here in 1 Corinthians 1:19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. He was pleased to have all his fullness. So I want you to kind of like pause on that. We're going to hang out there for a couple seconds and to think that the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God of all power, the God of all goodness, crammed all of that into a little baby. He crammed all of his fullness to dwell in this little baby. For what reason? Why would God do such a thing? Why would he voluntarily do such a crazy thing like that, like force all himself into the body of a baby and subject himself to the limitation of a baby, a human baby body? Why would he do such a crazy, crazy thing like that? And the Bible tells us why he did it. It says in verse 20 of Colossians 1, it says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The bottom line is really that highlighted word there. He did it so that he could reconcile us unto him. He could reconcile us unto him. See, God is perfect and no imperfect people can get into heaven. So all of us were like doomed to hell. And you guys don't think that hell is a real place? It is a real place. And that was created for the devil and his demons, which are fallen angels. And the devil, he's trying to get as many people to suffer with him. That's what he's trying to do. And God's like, I'm on to you. And I'm going to put all my fullness in this baby so this baby can grow up for the purpose of reconciling God to him. You see, as human beings, we are like a serious mess. We're a mess. We do things all the time, and God just looks at us, and he just... I use the word SMH in a text to my son this week. He told me I can't use that. He's like, it's not right for parents to use SMH in a text. SMH means shaking my head. And God, just like I was shaking my head at Matthew this week, God does the same thing to us. He's like, man, sometimes I find myself doing some stuff and thinking some stuff, and I see God, I can just imagine God just shaking his head. He's like, really, Gary? Really? Really? Come on, Gary. Really? You see, God needed all of his fullness and all of his power to give us a permanent escape from the penalties of that. And that's a big deal. So he went and he died this really painful death because he had all this sin on him, and the punishment, the penalty for sin is death, and he took that and he died, and he went to Satan and says, the one power that you have, I have come to take it away. And so death no longer has a sting. Grave no longer has a sting. That's a big deal. So yeah, he needed all of his fullness crammed into this little body so that we could have the ability to be reconciled to God and to have a right relationship with God despite the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times we have failed. The Bible goes on to tell us this in Colossians 1:21. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. See, without God, within the context of God's righteousness, we're like Syrian aliens trying to get into the United States right about now without a visa. The door of heaven was shut. The border was closed. The skies over heaven was shut down because we were alienated from God. And God's like, you can't come here because you're not perfect. That was the deal. That was the deal. Complete aliens. Because of our sin and our perfection. But God has reconciled you so you are free from accusation. That's a big deal. When God thinks about Christmas, he thinks about this. That, look, I came as this so you're free from accusation. The free from accusation means that every single time you mess up, and you ask for forgiveness, God says, okay. And it's no longer on your account, and you get a permanent visa for heaven. And not only that, you get diplomatic immunity. You cannot be held to the same penalty as somebody else who is outside of the faith, who don't have a visa and who doesn't have diplomatic immunity. You're no longer aliens. You're now free from accusations. Your mess ups and screw ups no longer alienates you from God. You are free from accusation. That's a big deal. If you're a Christian, you know what a big deal that is. If you ask God what you think about Christmas, he thinks you're no longer aliens. You're free from accusation. That's what God thinks about Christmas. That's what I believe anyway. You see, if you grew up in church, you really truly know what a big deal that is. And if you're a preacher's kid like I was, you especially know what that is, because every time I mess up, I know which verse I'm violating. And the fact is, he tells me that I am free from accusation, that his mercy remains, his reconciliation remains, his forgiveness remains. And that is a big deal. You see, when God thinks about Christmas, I believe this is what he thinks about, and that's what we should think about too. That God made us free from accusation. So y'all probably thinking, yeah. Yeah, I got this. I really should be thinking about that. And okay, good. Good Christmas message. I'm glad I went to church today. And you could leave here and it would be a good Christmas message. But you see, God says that, wait a minute, there is more to this when I think about Christmas, God, than this. And here's why I say that. God says, you know about peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconcile, and you go, yay, like the cheer from the Family Feud game. But God's like, hold up, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. What about sinner and sinner reconciled? What about man and man reconciliation? What about that one? The Bible tells us that when the wise men, the magi, searched for 2 years, approximately 2 years, to follow that star to find Jesus, right? They came to worship him. They came to worship him. So God offers up this reconciliation that caused him pain and death so he could offer it and we could accept it so that we could do what happens at Christmas. We could say, come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn king. And life is good. But here's what Jesus himself, that very same baby that Magi came to worship and the shepherds came to worship, and they is now grown up. And as a man, that same baby Jesus, as a man, is given a very important sermon. And here's what he says. The same one that calls us all to worship. He says this in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. He says, therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar, that means you're worshiping, or you're bringing your gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, here's what you should do. You should leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So in order for you to do what Christ wants you to do at Christmas, you can't stop with just God and sinner reconciled. That is a starting point. That is the official starting point. That is the point that you must get. You don't get to second base. You don't get to home run until you get to first base, which is God and sinner reconcile. But God and sinner reconcile, God says, hey, now the next step is the same gift that I offered to you. You got to turn around and offer it to somebody else. Andy Stanley, the pastor in Atlanta, put it this way. He says, imagine you and God are having a conversation. You and God are having a conversation, and God looks at you and God says, hey, Gary, are you and me okay? God is talking to me. You me okay? I'd be thinking, like, wow, that's a strange question. God's asking me, or me and him okay? I'm like, yeah. If you say we are, your word says that we're okay. We're okay. He's like, we're really okay? I'm like, yeah, God. I think we're okay. And then God asks another question. Are you and your wife okay? Are you and your husband okay? Are you and your kids okay? Are you and your parents okay? Are you and your neighbor okay? Are you and your brother okay? Are you and your boss okay? Then he says, I want you to leave your gold, frankincense, and myrrh right here and go take care of that. See, our relationship, God is talking. It's Gary, yours and my relationship will never be perfect, will never be complete until sinner and sinner is reconciled. Until the offer that I gave to you, you have turned around and extended it to somebody else. If you ever wonder why God and sinner reconciled, that if God and sinner reconciled is really so easy, why is it so difficult for sinner and sinner to be reconciled? And by the way, we're all sinners, right? Because I love the songwriter who says that a saved is just a sinner who fell down and got up. A saved person is just a sinner who has accepted God's offer of reconciliation and now gets a free gift of heaven and now gets a right relationship with Christ. But that's the only difference. It's a big difference, but don't think you're all that special. Have you ever stopped to wonder? Have you ever stopped to wonder? You may say, Pastor Gary, well, you don't know this person. You don't know what this person has done for me. You don't know how much he has hurt me. You don't know how much he has mistreated me. You don't know how much he has stolen from me. How much this person has lied to me. How much they have cheated on me. You can fill in your personal story in the blank as to why this person doesn't need to be reconciled with you. Why you're not going to extend that sinner-to-sinner reconciliation to him. And by the way, you have every earthly justifiable reason. I'm not saying that you don't have a reason. You got a good old reason. And God is saying, I want you to extend an offer of reconciliation. Perhaps maybe you're the one who is the one inflicting pain on somebody, right? And you've done something that, whether intentionally or not intentionally, you've hurt someone, and God is saying, I want you to go ask forgiveness and extend an offer of reconciliation. See, folks, reconciliation is messy. Reconciliation is not easy. Reconciliation is hard. Reconciliation is not comfortable. Reconciliation is not intuitive. Whether or not you're the offender or the offended, or I'll make up a word, the offendee. And because of that, nobody wants to make the first move. Nobody wants. But you know what? It's hard, but it's necessary because you carry around that weight. And by the way, if you don't resolve that, you're going to carry it into the next relationship. Just saying. So why is reconciliation necessary? I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. You say, Pastor Gary, why is reconciliation necessary? Well, one, for your conscience sake. For your conscience sake. And God speaks to you in many ways, and one of the ways he speaks to you is through your conscience, and he's telling you, hey, I'm trying to find a name here that won't get anybody in trouble. Harold, make that phone call. I'll use my name. Gary, make that phone call. Gary, send that email. Send that instant message. Write a letter. Make that first move. And I keep putting it off. And you put it off because it's got this mental thing going on in my mind where I'm like thinking about, man, all right, I know this is going to go down. I'm going to say I'm sorry. And they're going to say, well, you ought to be. You know what you did? And I'm going to, they're going to say something that's going to get me upset. And then I'm going to, you know, have to defend myself because they're not telling the truth. And this is just going to be a bad situation. And nah, I'll wait till after Christmas. Because this is not going to play out well. And so you avoid what God's telling you through your conscience. And God is saying, reconciliation is necessary to have me shut up about this. To have me stop talking to you about this. The second reason why reconciliation is necessary is to truly enjoy the essence of Christmas. Reconciliation is necessary for Christmas. You see, to truly celebrate and enjoy Christmas, you have to come and worship. That's what it's all about, right? Shepherds, wise men, what do? They come and worship. We're all here because we come and worship. By the way, do you know why Christmas Sunday and Christmas Eve tends to be the time where most of America goes to church? It's because intrinsically inside of us, there is something that is created to worship. And man, when we come on Christmas, we think about it, it's like, oh man, I got to go worship. I got to go worship. That's what I'm supposed to do. So churches all over the United States got people in there going to worship. And God is saying, you can't really do that until you offer reconciliation. See, Jesus did his part. He's like, say, Pastor Gary, I tried it before and they rejected it. I tried it again, they rejected it. By the way, do you know how many times Jesus spoke to me and offered reconciliation to me before I accepted it? I heard thousands of sermons. Everyone an offer of reconciliation. And I'm like, no, God. And there may be people in here today who right here, right now, are in that place of saying, no, God. And God's like, look, man, I'm giving you a free gift. It's my birthday, and I'm giving you a gift for Christmas. And you're like, no, thank you. Don't want it. Over and over and over and over again. Jesus did his part by extending that offer. He extended an offer. And so he's saying to you and to me, extend that offer. Your job is not to have them take it. Your job is to extend it. So I'm wrapping up. Just invite the praise team to come up. But here's what I want you to do today. This is what I want you to do today. Make that phone call. I want you to send that email. I want you to write that letter. And I'm even going to make it really easy for you. So if you have your notes and you want to take this down, if you can't come up with your own words, this is all I want you to say. This is it. I've been thinking about a relationship, and I want it to be better. The yellow part is a really important part. I'm sorry for my part in where we are. Can we talk? That's it. That's the offer of reconciliation to sinner and sinners so that you can truly enjoy a good Christmas. You may say, Pastor Gary, but I'm not sorry. And all y'all are really like good Christians, like, yeah, I'm really sorry. Let me tell you, sometimes I say I'm sorry and I'm not. Let me just tell you straight up. And it's a lie. I freely admit that. God forgive me. There's something that happens when you say you're sorry. It opens up a dialogue. And in that dialogue, you will open up your mind to realizing where you were wrong. Then you're sorry. For real. Start out by saying, I'm sorry. For my part in where we are, can we talk? Even if you have done it 1,000 times before, because Jesus did it to us and is still doing it to us today, offering it. If you do this, I guarantee that this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for you and for me and for us as a church and for your family. The moment I'm going to pray, and while I'm praying, I'm going to ask, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask the praise team to do it also. I'll be the only one looking. For you to make a commitment. That if this is you, and you can think about anybody who you have ought against, or anybody who has ought against you, that you need to reconcile with, that you just raise your hand as I'm praying. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. This is your personal commitment time to Christ. That you're going to do this so this Christmas can be a very, very special Christmas. Let's pray. As we're praying, if this is you, just raise your hand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your offer of reconciliation, that you took all your fullness and crammed it into this little baby so this baby could feel everything we did and grow up and die for us so that we could have a free gift of salvation and be free from all accusation. Lord, I pray today that this church, if there's anybody in this church who has to do any business with sinner to sinner, man to man, husband to wife, parent to child, child to parents, brother to brother, to sister, to boss, to neighbors, that they'll make a commitment to say, can we talk? So this Christmas will be a very special Christmas. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, who have never been to first base, who have not even accepted your offer of salvation, that today will be that day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you know what? I don't know what you're going to sing, but I'm going to do an audible on them. I'd like to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas this coming Friday.